You'll take your copies of God's Word and turn, please, to Luke chapter 8. Our text today, Luke 8, verses 16 through 18. Luke 8, 16 through 18. Hear now the word of the Lord. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be made known or brought into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has will be taken from him. This is God's word. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this tremendous treasure that you have given to us. And Lord, we pray now that you would give us the blessing of your spirit, that by your Holy Spirit you would take these words and make them alive, make them sharp to penetrate to the very core of our being, that we might know you better, that we might understand as your people the things you've called us to do. Lord, help us this day, we pray. May we hear your voice and your voice only. We pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Christianity is something that must be seen. By its very nature, Christianity must be shared. The King himself commands us to share the gospel, to share the light that we have received with others. This parable of the lamp on the stand, a very short parable, follows hard on the heels of the parable of the sower that we looked at last time. In fact, this parable serves to illumine even more the parable of the sower. In the parable of the sower, we heard about the seed, the word of God, that fell on the good soil. The good soil being that good heart that hears, the good heart that retains the word, and the good heart that by persevering brings forth an abundant harvest. We see here today that part of that persevering is letting that word, letting that light that has fallen into your heart shine forth, to share that with others. This light that you have received is not to be quenched, not to be hidden, but it's to be on display. All those who have received Christ as Savior have received a tremendous gift, and that gift is to be shared. All Christians are called to let that light shine into the world. So the question before you today, the question that you must answer is, what are you doing with your light? Jesus begins by telling us a couple of things you should not do with your light. Number one, Jesus says no one lights a lamp and puts it under a jar. Now don't think about a clear mason jar like you're used to today. This was an earthenware jar, pottery jar, through which the light would not shine. In the same way, Jesus says no one lights a lamp. And if you went with us up to Gadsden to see the Dead Sea Scrolls exhibit, those of you who went saw those little lamps, those little pottery lamps that they had excavated. That's the lamp that Jesus is talking about. You pour oil in there, and it's got a little sawed-off teapot kind of, and it's got a little spout where the wick goes, and you light it. That's what Jesus is talking about here. And he says, don't take your lamp and put it under the bed. Now, aside from the obvious introduction of a fire hazard under your bed, I think there's another reason here. What do you do when company's coming? Or like last week when we were getting ready to show our house and there's this stuff that you don't have any place for. You don't have time to make a place for it, so under the bed it goes, right? Out of sight, out of mind. That's the way some folks treat their Christianity. It's in my heart. It's hidden away in here, but I'm going to keep it under the bed. They're happy to have it in their heart, but they tremble at the thought of having it exposed to the view of the world, having it exposed to those around them. So Jesus says, don't be tempted by that. Don't put your light, the light that God has given to you, don't put that under the bed, out of sight, out of mind. But Jesus says what you should do with the light precisely is the opposite of that. Put it on a stand. Set it up here where it will give light to all. This is, in the context, I think, here, indicative of a house. Jesus talks about those who are coming in. So it's in the idea of a house or a room, because your little light, as my little light, might not make a big difference in this big, dark world, but in the context of a home, in the context of a room, a small gathering of people, that's a different story. That light, Jesus says, you light that and it gives light to the whole room. One Christian can make a difference in a family, in a home. We've heard story after story of one person who comes to the Lord, and then gradually that whole family hears the gospel. That light should be on display for all to see, all who come in, all who are part of that family, that home, that extended family. One hears, one believes, and brothers and sisters and parents and, you know, uncles and aunts and cousins hear the gospel. But what's more difficult? What is more difficult than actually sharing the gospel with those who are closest to you? That's one of the hardest things we have to do, to share with them the truth of the gospel. They often don't want to hear. They often think something is wrong with the one who has heard the gospel and been converted and going to church now and doing all kind of strange things. But that is exactly the ones that we should shine this light upon. But it's hard to tell them the truth. It's hard to share with them the fate that awaits those without Christ. The awful thing that you have to contemplate about your loved ones who do not know Christ. So Jesus says this light should be put on a stand so it sheds this light upon all those in your family, all those in your extended family, all those with whom you work, that little room that makes up your life, that light should shine forth. Many of you know dozens, if not hundreds of people who need to hear the gospel. Can't you do this for them? It's a question that every Christian must ask themselves. Can't I do this? Can't I do this for the ones that mean the most to me in this world? Can't I do this for my friends and co-workers? It's a question you have to ask yourself. You've received this light. You're going to put it under the bed where they can't see, where they won't be exposed to it. This is what you have to ask yourself. And we're all in that situation. We know people. We love people who are in the dark. And they're groping around in darkness. And we have the light. Jesus says that light ought to be put on display. The gospel by its very nature is to be seen. It's to be seen in your life, in your words, your actions, your testimony. It's to be out there for all to see. You know, Paul said that we have received by God's grace. He has poured out upon us this mystery of this knowledge of Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the light that's in you. That light should shine forth. It should be obvious to all who hear and see and know you. God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has made His light shine in our hearts to give us the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. That's the treasure that we have. That's the light that burns within us. And that's the light is to be shared. That's what we should do. Not stifle it, not hide it, not cover it up, not think, well, they'll be offended if I say that. They may not speak to me anymore. Share it anyway. Jesus says, let that light shine forth. Therefore, Jesus says, therefore, because of this, because of these reasons, Jesus says, look there in your text. There is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed. What does he mean by that? Nothing concealed that will not be made known or brought out into the open. For these reasons. Now, you know, Jesus here looks at this light that has been set upon this stand. If that light is burning, is exposed, nothing will be hidden from that. It won't be dark. The dark places will be made light. What did the disciples have that others didn't have? Take you back to the parable of the sower. Look at verse 9. Jesus said, "For it has been given to you to understand these mysteries of the kingdom. But others hearing would not understand." They wouldn't even hear. They wouldn't even, it'd be just like gibberish to them. What was it the disciples had that gave them this? What is that something that they have that gives them even more? What is it that the others lack that prevents them from even hearing the truth? Well, they hear the words, but they don't hear in their heart. Nothing's happening. Nothing's changing in their hearts. And Jesus says those who have will get more, and those who don't have will get even less. Now, contrary to some television preachers who believe that means if you give their ministry, you'll get even more, that's not what is in view here at all. He's talking about the light, about the truth, about the gospel. What was it that the disciples had? The disciples, with one notable exception, had received Jesus Christ as Lord and King. They had heard the Old Testament prophecies. They had heard Jesus' explanation and fulfillment of those, and they had said, "You are the King of Israel. You are the Messiah. You are Lord." And because of that, they received even more. Those who have trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior receive even more. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. They are spiritually discerned. So those who have the Spirit of God, who have the Spirit of Christ poured out in their hearts, receive even more from the Word, and thus are able to shed abroad more light. They receive more, and their light grows brighter and brighter. So Jesus says, if you have that, you will receive more. Therefore, he says, be careful. Consider carefully how you listen, how you hear. You remember the title of the sermon of the parable of the sower? Are you a good listener? You see, Jesus revisits the exact same thing here. Be careful how you hear. Be careful how you listen. There's plenty of things out there you can hear that aren't helpful. There's plenty of things, even now at this hour, that are being proclaimed that are not the Word of God. There are plenty of things that go out and are disseminated that are contrary to the Word of God. Jesus says, be careful how you hear. There are a number of things that go into hearing. There are positive things and negative things that you can do to hear rightly. The first is, you just have to hear. That may seem a little redundant, but there are empty places all in this building. There are people out here today in darkness who will not come into the light to hear. They won't hear. The prophet Isaiah said in, you know, his incredulity at the people around him, you can almost hear it in his words. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been shown to you from the beginning? These are the people he's been prophesying to. And they're like posts. They're like rocks. They're not hearing. People hear the word. People come and sit and listen to sermons. People pick up the Bible occasionally and read it. And they don't hear. So the first thing you have to do is listen. You have to hear the word. Secondly, you should not look to the word, look to the hearing of it merely as entertainment. If there's one thing that we have to contend with in our world, if there's one danger in our world today in the church, it's that this is looked upon as entertainment. God told the prophet Ezekiel, he said, your words are no more to them than beautiful singing and one who plays an instrument well, for they don't put them into practice. Much of what goes on today under the name of worship is entertainment to make people feel good and get this hour of obligation over as pleasantly as possible so they can leave and go back to what they were doing before they came in without changing their hearts, without changing their lives. We have this obligation. We might as well make it as pleasant as we can. That's what passes for hearing. It's not hearing. Because, as God said, nothing is happening. Nothing's changing in their lives. They're just being entertained. And that flows right into the next thing. You must hear with faith. You must receive what you read here. You must hear what you hear as the word proclaimed, as it is proclaimed truly and rightly. You must hear that as what it is, the word of God. Hebrews 4:2 says that we had the gospel preached to us just as they did. But they have not heard because they did not combine what they heard with faith. Faith is what makes this alive and real and practical in your life. We must receive this as what it is, not the word of man, but the word of God. I pray that every Sunday. You perhaps get tired of hearing it, but I mean it. Let us hear your voice and your voice only, God. I pray when I leave here every Sunday, if I've spoken incorrectly, I pray it will be lost in a sea of forgetfulness. It will never come to your mind because it needs to be the word of God that you retain, that you hear. The fourth thing is we should not hear just to find fault. The Pharisees listened to Jesus preach all the time. You could just about be sure that if Jesus was preaching or teaching, the Pharisees were present. As Luke said, to try to catch him in something that he said. They weren't hearing. They weren't being enlightened. They were looking to criticize. There are probably other ways, but finally, we should pray to receive the Word. We should come to the Word bathed in prayer. Before you go to your daily Bible reading, I pray you do that. You should open with a time of prayer. Before you come to church on Sunday to hear the Word, you should be in prayer. You should be praying that God would be at work in your heart, that He'd be changing your life through what you hear. Because God uses these things in different ways in different lives. You hear the same words many times, but for one person, it affects them in one area of their heart, and another person, it affects them in another area of their heart. Sometimes people say, well, you were preaching right to me today. I said, well, you don't want to offend you, but you weren't on my mind, actually. That's the work of God. That's God making this alive to you. So, we should hear. We should take care what we hear. We should be careful, because Jesus says, whoever has will be given more. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. Again, this is not prosperity. This is the Word of God. What Jesus is talking about here is those who have received, those who have heard the Word, those who have come to the Word prayerfully, those who have done all these things in preparation, they hear and they receive more. That light glows brighter and grows brighter and bigger and sheds forth more light. But there are some who think they have the light. They've heard the preaching. They've read the Scripture. They think that they know Christ. They think they're one of Christ. But that is an illusory thing. It's their imagination. They've sat under the preaching. They've read the Word. They've heard the Word. They've repeated the words even. But I find those words of Jesus very chilling. What they think they have will be taken away from them. Now let's be clear about one thing. We believe in the perseverance of the saints. No one can snatch you out of God's hand. You will not lose your salvation. But if you never had it in the beginning, if you think, if you have deceived yourself, you have nothing to lose. You never had it. It is your thinking. So Jesus says, be careful how you hear. Be careful what you do with what you have heard. Because if you have truly heard, if God's Spirit is truly working in your heart as you hear the Word proclaimed, you will receive more and more week by week. Day by day, as you study the Scriptures and search the Scriptures and search God's will for your life, you will receive more. But if you don't, even what you think that you have will be taken away. How many of you took piano lessons when you were young? How many of you played in the band? I assume none of you were virtuosos, or you've been holding out on us musically. But if you have not maintained that, if you've not perfected that skill, how many of you can play the piano today? How many can play the clarinet or the trumpet? You see, if you don't keep that up, and some of you young ones raise your hand, let me tell you, if you don't keep it up when you get this age, you won't have that skill. It'll be gone. What you thought you had will disappear. It is something you must maintain. It's the same thing with the Word of God. This is not a thing where you hear a gospel presentation, you raise your hand, you pray a prayer, someone tells you to pray, and you go on your merry way the rest of life and never touch it again. That's an illusion. Because if your heart has truly been changed, you love the Word. You desire to share that Word with others. It becomes more and more important for you to hear the Word. You're hungry when you don't hear it. You need to look in your heart and see what really is motivating you. Is it just a perfunctory thing that you do? It's Sunday. I have to go to church. It'll be over soon. That's not a real desire for the Word. Whoever has, Jesus said, will be given more. You should be hungrier. You should want more. You should want to dig deeper. The Bible study should enthuse you to go home and get out your text and read it and study over that. Paul said that the Bereans were more noble than the Thessalonians because they went home and searched the Scriptures to see if what Paul said was true. The Apostle Paul. He lit such a fire, a light in them that they wanted more. They wanted to go home and read more, to hear more. So, listen carefully. Take heed to how you hear. And one of the measures of that is this light that's been given to us. Jesus kindled this light in the lives of the disciples. He has kindled that light in you if you belong to Christ. And we, by application, and specifically you need to see what you're doing with that light. Is it up here on the stand, where it gives light to all with whom you come in contact? Or is it under the bed? Or hidden under a bowl or a jar? You sure really don't want anybody at work to know you're a Christian. Or are you putting that light out there for all to see? If you are, what Jesus says here, the promise of Christ here, is that you'll be given more light to shine on those living in darkness all around us. If you use that light, if you put that light out there, you should not worry about it. You have the promise of the Son of God that He's going to make that light burn brighter and brighter to cast light on all with whom you come in contact, all who come into your sphere of light. And that light will grow greater. And that sphere will grow bigger. And more will be exposed to the light. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for shining the light of the truth of the gospel into our hearts. Lord, if there is any here today or any who hear this who have not received that light, Lord, we pray that You would work in their heart by the power of Your Holy Spirit, that You would give them a new heart, that they might believe and be saved, that the light of God, the light of Christ, would shine forth, that they would hear, understand, and believe and be saved. But Lord, those of us who have been recipients of Your great grace, or those upon whom the light of Your glory has shined in our hearts in the face of Christ, our Savior, Lord, we pray that you would make that light burn brighter, stronger, and cast out a broader and a wider and a more brilliant beam, that all who come in, all who come into the sphere of our influence, would see that light. Lord, take away our reticence, take away our fear. Lord, take away our reluctance. Lord, help us indeed to put that light on a stand for all to see, for your glory and your honor, and in obedience to our Savior Jesus Christ, in whom we pray. Amen.